To this day, my father isn't sure quite what possessed him. Shortly after I was born, once the initial bursts of elation and exhaustion and emotion had faded, my dad, Ron, had a chance to steal away from the hospital for a few hours. Intending to drive straight home for a bit of rest, he instead found himself pulling into the parking lot of a local department store. This was a few days before Christmas, and as he puts it, the shelves were mostly bare. But there was my dad, rummaging around them long enough to find a plastic glove, a kid-sized Louisville slugger, and a cheap baseball. Ron Wright was never much of an athlete, too short for basketball and too small for football, but he did play baseball and enjoyed the game. He wanted to instill that same love in me. In the weeks that followed, my grandmother constructed a wooden plaque with prongs sticking out of it to hold the bat as well as spots to store the glove and ball. That contraption hung on my bedroom wall from the first days of my life until I was old enough to go play outside with them. They were perfect. At first, I could barely lift the bat, but I never got tired of trying alongside my father and grandfather in the backyard. When I got older, my dad told me to swing it underwater because he had read that that was how Greg Jeffries trained. I was probably better equipped to handle a wiffle ball bat, which I often did, standing with my back to my grandfather's pool and trying to hit his looping pitches for hours. To say I was predisposed to a love of baseball would probably be an understatement. From the time that I could walk, everything on both sides of my family revolved around a ball and a bat. So enthused was I about the game that one afternoon, when my mother, Elisa, spied a Little League team playing, she stopped the car, got out, and asked someone at the field how old I had to be to register. Turned out I was a year too young, but the next spring, I was out there in uniform, ready to make my green run Little League debut. I showed up with the same wooden bat my dad had bought on his way home from the hospital, which embarrassed him only a little when he realized all the other kids were swinging aluminum. We learned that sort of stuff on the fly. Quickly, Saturday turned into the best day of the week. I would wake up and spend all day at the field. I would eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the concession stand, watch the other games, and play in mine, loving every second of it. Three younger brothers, Stephen, Matthew, and Daniel, eventually came along, one every 3 years. We all played baseball. None of us could get enough. What's amazing to me now, looking back, is how much my parents sacrificed to help make that possible. My dad was raised in the Hampton Roads region of Virginia, which in those days was generally just referred to as Tidewater. It encompasses Norfolk, the biggest city in the area, Virginia Beach, where I grew up, Chesapeake, where we moved when I was a teenager, and several other communities. Dad met Mom at a local roller skating rink, convinced her to go on a double date with two other friends, and managed to turn that one date into many more. Ron and Elisa became high school sweethearts. In 1978, when she was 19 and he was only 18, they got married. At the time, my mom was working at the local Navy Exchange store, while my dad was earning some cash at an auto dealership with his uncle, selling muscle cars, which were all the rage. Within a couple of years, they switched. She started working at the dealership, doing bookkeeping and other tasks, while he worked security at the Navy Exchange, rooting out shoplifters. That sparked Ron's interest in law enforcement, and once he was eligible at age 21, he applied to the police academies in Norfolk and Virginia Beach. Norfolk, a much more urban area with some relatively high crime rates, called him back first. A career was born. Until I grew older, I wasn't really aware of the dangerous nature of my father's work. Flipping through channels as a kid, I watched Cops and saw the officers busting down doors and catching bad guys. But my brothers and I always thought there was no way my dad did that sort of stuff. When we all sat together for family dinners, my father never talked about his work. My parents completely shielded us from it, even if that wasn't totally on purpose. To Ron, the work didn't always seem all that dangerous. To me and my brothers, it was just what he did. Our biggest thrill was having him flip on the siren for us as we drove around town in an unmarked police car. Sometimes we'd get to wear screen-printed t-shirts that the officers made to celebrate successful missions, even though we didn't really know everything that went into them. It wasn't until I was an adult that I learned the truth from a couple of his partners at a local gym. "Your dad was a bad dude," one of them told me. "Him?" I replied, incredulous. "Him."